Genesis chapter 45, we'll be going, Lord willing, through about three chapters this morning, 45, 46, and part of 47. Let's go ahead and jump right in, chapter 45 of Genesis. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." There stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph." Now just visualize this for a second. He says, "I am Joseph." Now that's a shock. You read it sometimes, you read it again and again and again, and it's old hat to us. But think about those brethren standing in front of him, and he says, "I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" And his brethren could not answer him. Yeah, they were speechless for sure. For they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near to me." They're probably even backing up. You can imagine the sight. "I pray you," and they came near, and he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither." Now that would be the natural response. You're pretty angry with yourself that you had tried to eliminate your brother. I don't know about you, but that would bother me if I found out that it didn't work. That's a joke. Thanks. I get one chuckle over here from the pastor.
We just weren't sure whether you
were. Yeah, you don't ever know how to take me. The point is, this is a traumatic thing for the brethren. They are wondering, what in the world? If we scripted this, this is not how we would have scripted it. But listen to what Joseph says. "For God," verse 5, "did send me before you to preserve life." Now that's a man going through all that he went through who understands that the will of God isn't always an easy path. But when you look back and you see why God allowed certain things in your life, he's the guy that looks at it and says, "Hey, let me tell you something. You thought it one way. God determined it another. The outcome is good. It doesn't mean the brothers were right." Now, that's the other thing you have to be careful about. Well, it all turned out good. Here's the brothers. Good thing we did that, didn't it? No. Judas Iscariot betrayed the Lord and he went to the cross and died for our sins. What a great thing. Not so good for Judas, though. Woe be to the man. So we have to be careful when we look at things from different perspectives. You can't justify your sin and say, "Well, it all turned out fine." No, you can't do that. I can't do that. I can't look at the outcome of a situation and justify my actions that were incorrect and wrong, even if I am forgiven, even if all things turn out well. What are my motives and intentions? And if they were wrong, I was wrong. But God be glorified that He can turn the worst into the best. So Joseph couldn't refrain himself any longer in verse 1. It says, "Then Joseph, he reveals himself to his brethren." Joseph sends all the men out except his brothers. If you want application here, really, you need to get rid of everything in your life that interferes between you and Joseph. Joseph being a type of Christ. That means the priests. That means, all the intercessors, interceders in between you and Jesus Christ. Get rid of it all. Get rid of all the noise. People say, there are churches that teach the death, burial, and resurrection. That's the gospel. Yeah, but when you add all that noise and all that muddy water in there, you can't find the gospel because it's so polluted and diluted in these religions. When you add Mary, and you add prayers to Mary, and you add statues to Mary and statues statues to the angels or the fathers or the saints, and you add all this stuff in there, what ends up happening is you take the eyes off of the focus where it's supposed to be, and that's on Jesus Christ. So yeah, you can find the gospel in some religions. But then when you get right down to it, what really saves you? Well, you gotta be good, and you gotta do this, and you gotta be baptized, and you gotta pray to this and pray to that, and it's all do rather than done. So be careful of the noise. You can't look at it and say, well, it's okay. Heard somebody say once, well, the Church of Christ, they preach the gospel. No, they don't. They believe you have to be baptized. That's baptismal regeneration, and no such thing exists in the Bible. So you can preach Jesus all you want, but when you add baptism in there, co-equal, you've negated everything you've said about Jesus. So be careful when you look at these things. So it goes on, Joseph made himself known to his brethren. Like Joseph, Jesus will make himself known to his brethren in the 7 years of the period of Daniel's 70th week, which is yet to come. He's going to make himself known to them. And this is a picture of that. Now, I wonder about the 2 years. 2 years have passed in the 7 years, and he makes himself known. It sort of, you wonder how exact is the picture that we're looking at. You can't say, well, Jesus is going to make himself known in 2 years, after 2 years. No, that's not what you can say. You can make the connection, but you can't say definitively that's how it'll work. I believe it might be. It might be that 2 years into Daniel's 70th week will be when Israel starts realizing, how they've been duped. We definitely know at the halfway point, when the abomination of desolation takes place, they're going to realize that they've been following a lie. We know that at the 3.5 year point, but I wonder about the 2 year point. So Joseph weeps aloud. All the house of Pharaoh hears that. And Joseph's brothers were troubled at his presence. In John 14, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." That's what Jesus said. When people were faced with Jesus, they were troubled. They're troubled, just like you see here in this picture, when they're faced with Joseph, whom they had thought was dead. By the way, don't the Jews think that Jesus is dead, crucified, gone, never to see him again? Again, the application is there. The historical event happened. The application is what we need to see too. Joseph called for his brothers. They came near to him. And you see that in Matthew 11 and John chapter 10 also with the nation of Israel. So looking at verse 5, Joseph told his brothers not to be grieved nor to be angry with themselves that they sold him into slavery. Joseph explained that God sent him there. God sent him there. Now think of Job. Think of Job and what happened with him. I think God even said, "Thou movest me against Job." That's what God said to Satan. So when he allowed Satan to test and tempt Job, God said, "You're moving me against Job." That's important to see. Joseph explained that God sent him into Egypt. The brethren need to turn their attention away from what they did to Joseph and focus upon what Joseph did for them. By the way, that's the same for you and me. You and I cannot focus on what we have done and lose focus on what Jesus Christ has done for us. You're forgiven. If you're a child of God, you're forgiven for your sin. And if you focus on your failings of the past, that's what you will become, a person that focuses on failure, and you'll remain in that state. You've got to forget the past and move on toward the future. You've got to make sure that what you're putting those things behind you and pressing forward toward the mark. If you don't learn to do that, and I don't learn to do that, we'll just repeat the mistakes that we made in the past. He says, look, forget that. Forget what you... think about how quick that is. Hi, I'm Joseph. Forget what you did. That's salvation. That's salvation. You know what we do? We wallow in our pity. We think about what we've done over and over and over again, and then instead of having a happy and a joyful countenance, we walk around. You know, I remember when I got right with God, you know, I couldn't shake anybody's hand. I couldn't look them in the eye. Finally, the pastor said, I can't stand it. He's up at the pulpit. I can't stand when people can't look me in the eye when they shake my hand. Well, you know, I had an excuse. I was a dirty, no good, low down person that just got right with God. But I was still dirty, no good, low down because I didn't serve God for 3 years. I didn't go to church. I didn't pray. And so when I shook people's hands, I wouldn't look them in the eye because of that. And you know what I learned? After I, you know, started looking people in the eye, well, first of all, I didn't get the pressure of the, you know, somebody beating me up from the pulpit. But I learned later on that we're all like that. They weren't better than me. I mean, they were all godly, righteous people, and here I was not. That's how I looked at it. And you know, it's okay to, you know, it's okay to feel that way for a little while. But after a while, get over it and move on. If you're right with God, act like you're right with God. Stay right with God. Let your face know you're right with God. You know, in other words, just look like you got the joy of the Lord in your heart. And then people ask you, hey, what's different about you? Heather was just telling us about one of her coworkers at work whose father-in-law just died in a car wreck. Been married 40 plus years. I say father-in-law, I meant mother-in-law. Died in a car wreck. Imagine what that family's going through. It's pretty tough. Listen, we are all of all people are blessed. We are. So, well, you don't know my situation. I don't have to know your situation. You don't know my situation, nor will you. But guess what? I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I could tell you sob stories, sad stories, bad stories, and just put us all in the funk of country music. I was listening to somebody say something the other day. Boy, it just makes you want to cry. And I'm thinking, man, that's all I need. I watch a movie and I'll tear up every now and then, maybe a little bit more than tear up. Heather makes fun of me. Are you crying, Dad? Yep. Hey, he told them not to grieve or to be angry with themselves. Joseph explained that it was God that sent him into Egypt. The book of Psalms says, remember not the sins of my youth. Psalm 25:7. Remember not the sins of my youth. That's what the prayer was. Listen, forget those things that are behind you. Press forward toward the mark. Do not let this world defeat you as a Christian. The 2 years of famine had passed. There were 5 more years coming. You can imagine, those brothers had no idea. I mean, what stressed them more? The 5 years that was getting ready to come or the fact they were looking at Joseph? I think the fact that they were looking at Joseph stressed them the most. Joseph demonstrates, and I want you to turn to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 40. Joseph demonstrates the threefold progression. Hold your place there in Genesis, though, because I need to make a point here. Of the Christian walk as a father, then as Lord, and then as a ruler. Look at, verse 8 of Genesis 45. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God, and he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all to his house, and a ruler throughout the land of Egypt. There's a progression there. Father, Lord, and ruler. Well, look at the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40. Let me get over there with you. I never read this like I now read it, so bear with me if I can express it the way I think it reads to me now. Isaiah 40, verse 30, even the youths, now this is the threefold progression. You go from a youth to young men to a mature adult. Now watch it. Isaiah 40, verse 30, even the youths shall faint and be weary. They have no stamina, the youth. And the young men shall utterly fall. They hadn't learned how to fight yet. They're still youth. But they, this is the third group, not the two that we just talked about. This is the third group. This is the mature person. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Whose strength? The other two. So you have three groups. You have the youth, the young men, and they that wait on the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Those youth that faint and are weary, the young men that utterly fall. How do you know that? Well, you continue on in the verse. Shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. Well, who wasn't running and who was being weary? The youth were. Look at the beginning of the verse again. The youth shall faint and be weary. So now, if those that wait upon the Lord renew the strength of those that aren't waiting upon the Lord, then they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be faint. They shall walk, or run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. You know what our job is? If you have any maturity as a Christian, you're to help others that don't have that same level of maturity. That's why we have to be patient with people. I could tell you story after story. We had a guy that came in our church with an earring in. He's an Air Force guy, pretty big guy. He's a pastor of a church now. But he came in with an earring in. He came from California in the military. He came to our church. He started in Bible college. And after a while, before he started, the earring came out. And he started getting on fire for God. And he started preaching the juvenile detention centers. He started getting involved and going and going and doing. And guess what? Now he's pastoring in Kentucky. We had another one who his wife all of a sudden showed up in Sunday school one day. And, she's there and she's just boisterous and, just interacting with everybody. And, and then the husband would show up at 11 a.m. He would just sit in his pew and he was sitting out in the car the whole time during Sunday school. He didn't need Sunday school. A lieutenant colonel in the Air Force. He didn't need that. So he just sit in the car. And then after a while, he started coming in and he would sit in the pew. And he'd kick in at 11. And then one day, he's in the back greeting people. And he ended up being one of the three people when I left, or when I resigned in 2000, that took over part of my position there at the church. It took three people to replace me. I'm kidding. I realized when I said that, they took over portions of what I did. He took over all the budgeting. Just so you know. And he was the right one to do that. So what I'm telling you is the mature need to help those that aren't as mature and be patient. We can't expect everybody to be at the level of our spiritual giantness. Because we're not there either. But if we have the patience, that's what it says in Isaiah. We will help them to have the stamina, to get the maturity. But if we expect everybody to be a mature, full-grown adult, we don't have our Bible understanding that we need. Give people time. Back to Genesis. Well, so here you see it with them. He says, man, God sent me here. Whoa. We remember the ditch. We remember throwing you in there with no water. We remember sitting down and eating. You remember all that we've already studied? Think about going back and realizing what you truly did, meaning these guys. And then you're being told, don't worry. You'll see later on in chapter 49 and 50 when daddy's dying or dead, that they go to him and they go, now look, dad's dead, but it's not time for you to, lose your Christianity, so to speak. It's not time for you to take things into your own hands. Be a good guy now and don't give us our due. Because that's the way people in the world expect everybody to act. How we need to be is different. We don't need to be like everybody else. We need to show the world what forgiveness is. What it's like to really care for people. And we need to give them some time to grow. Back to verse 9. Haste ye and go up to my father. He's saying, hey, get moving now. This is an urgency now. He's ready to see his dad. He's now seen Benjamin. He's overwhelmed by that. He probably wanted his dad to come there and tell him at the same time, but he realizes the only way his dad's coming down is if he knows Joseph's there. That's why he has to tell the whole thing, why sometimes the story changed. So you look at it and he says, haste. He says, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. Thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen. Thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, thy flocks, and thy herds, and all thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, just like Jesus nourishes us. For yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all thou hast come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see in the eyes of my brother Benjamin that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And ye shall tell my father all my glory in Egypt. All my glory in Egypt. They're supposed to, what were they supposed to do? They're supposed to give Joseph the preeminence. They're supposed to tell about his glory, just like we're supposed to talk about Jesus and his glory. Too many times we talk about ourselves. And all that ye have seen, and ye shall haste and bring down my father hither. Twice he uses the word haste. In other words, this is something I want done, and I want it done fast. You can imagine, he's done this little thing with his brothers to test them and to find out who they are and what they are. And now they've passed his test. And now it's like, Katie, bar the door. Go get my father. I know I can trust you. You've brought Benjamin. I know Benjamin's safe with you. He had to find out those things, and now all he wants to do is he wants to see his daddy. Verse 14, he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren, wept upon them, after that his brethren talked with him. The fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come, and it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, say unto thy brethren, this do ye, lade your beast, and go and get you into the land of Canaan. And take your father and your households and come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and ye shall eat the fat of the land. Couldn't Joseph have done that on his own unilaterally? But you know what Pharaoh shows here? Somebody that's a good supervisor. He looks out for the people that he places in authority. Because the problem is the appearance of evil. You have somebody that's placed in authority under the leader, and they have the authority to say, go get it. I have the authority to give it to you. I can give you the land. I can give you the best. I can do all that. But because Pharaoh is a wise man, he takes that position and gives authorization with a position. It's like running for political office. You know what they all want to do is put their family in there. Unfortunately, we've got some of that coming with the next administration. It is what it is. There are laws in place where it can't happen. After Bobby Kennedy became Attorney General, they put laws in place where you can't do that. Thank goodness, because Hillary Clinton under Bill Clinton tried to, you know, take over the insurance. Remember all that? Well, that's why she couldn't do it. It was against the law. But here you've got somebody that's looking at the situation and saying, I am the leader. I am authorizing you to do that. Joseph could have done it on his own. Verse 19, now thou art commanded, this do ye, take you wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones, if you're wise, and bring your father and come, and regard not your stuff. For the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. Like we're joint heirs with Christ, the good of all the land is yours. He's saying, regard not your stuff. You know, that's a pretty good admonition to us. Do you have a lot of time you have to regard your stuff? Yeah. It's all about our stuff. Doesn't need to be about our stuff. If your life consists in the stuff you have too much stuff. Get your eyes off the stuff and get them on the Savior. Regard not your stuff. Why? Because God can give you more stuff and good stuff and the right stuff. But the problem is we accumulate our own stuff and we don't, you know, we get our eyes focused off of Jesus and what how He wants to bless us. Verse 21, the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh. According to the commandment of Pharaoh. Notice that's in there. Why? Because it's authorization. Special authorization. He could have given them wagons anyway. He could have done it unilaterally, but He, in His wisdom, allowed Pharaoh to make that decision that self-benefited him. He benefited by it. Listen, this is very important. Very important. You know what the problem is in society? We're always saying, well, you know, it's my children. So, you know, I'm the coach of the team. My son's going to play. You better make sure that you put the best player out there. That's what you do. Well, what if my son's not the best player? Well, then he sits on the bench until he becomes it, or he becomes one of the guys that comes in when the game's going to be, you know, is already out of hand either way, winning or losing. You know, you bring him in then. Too many people, they look at their children, their family, and they put them first. Listen, don't put them first all the time. Not if it's in a position where you're in a position of authority. I'm not saying don't put them first in your life, you know, apart from the Lord. I'm just saying be careful when you have a position of authority, you don't abuse that authority by watching out for your own first. Everybody sees it and says, wait a minute, that's not good. Listen, this next administration, I'm very concerned about that part, that that's going to happen. I'm bringing it down to a, you know, political level, but it is what it is. Not like he'll be the first one. My goodness. Be great if it wasn't that way. Be great if we had, you know, Donald Trump listening to the services this morning goes, man, that's what the Bible says. I'm going to do what the Bible says. That would be wisdom. That would be wisdom, not watching us this morning, but doing what the Bible says. Verse 22, to all of them he gave each man change of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. See, they got to change, not the fashions of this world, they got to change your raiment. When you get saved, you know what? You change your raiment. You don't look like the world, you don't dress like the world, you don't act like the world. You got to look, dress, and act differently. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying you got to look, act, and dress differently. And whatever God says to you, that's what you do. See, people look for specifics. Oh, you're saying? I'm not saying. All I'm saying is you ought to look, act, and dress differently from the world. You ought to have a change of raiment. Verse 23, and to his father he sent after this manner 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt, and 10 she asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed, and he said unto them, see that ye fall not out by the way. You know, too many Christians, they fall out by the way. They're on fire for God, and then all of a sudden they hit a speed bump and they just fall out by the way. He says, see to you falling out by the way. What did Jesus say? I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the way. Don't fall out by the way. And the only way to do that is to keep your eyes on the goal. Stay focused upon Jesus Christ. Verse 25, and they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive. Just stop right there. He didn't believe him. Joseph is yet alive. Now, do you think on that morning he sees all his kids, all his children coming, and all, you know, maybe I think he was just looking for the children. And, you know, they probably got out ahead of the whole thing. And they got up to him first before he could see everything that was behind them. And the first things out of their mouth is, Joseph is yet alive. And he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, and he believed them not. Well, no kidding. You spend your whole life wallowing in what you think God has done to you. And then when you get to the end, you look back and go, God didn't do it to me. It's all part of His will, part of His plan, and part of what He's done in your life to bring you to the point where you are today. Where are you today? I'm still wallowing back there in the past. What does he do when he sees Pharaoh? Well, my day's been evil. That's what he says. Really? Really? Abraham, What did he say? Well, you know what he said about Abraham? He had long life, and you know, it was all positive about how Abraham looked at it. But Abraham was willing to give up his son Isaac. I guarantee you, in my mind, had Jacob been faced with the same thing Abraham was faced with, and he would not have taken his son up there to Mount Moriah, he would not have been willing to give up his son, whether it be Joseph or whether it be Benjamin, because those were his idols, along with Rachel, his wife. And what happens? Rachel dies. He fears every day he's going to lose Benjamin, probably kept Benjamin close to him to the point that he suffocated Benjamin. And then Joseph, man, he's dead, he's gone, and all, you know, my days are evil. Listen, if you want to look at your life that way, have at it. I'm not going to. I've had things happen in my life, and you know, I look at it when I'm in it, and I'm just trying to get through it, and I get through it, and I move on to the next thing, and something else hits me, and then I, you know, you can sit there and you can wallow in it and wallow in it, and then you see it all works out, but then you get the next one, you wallow in it, and you get the next one, you get out of it, and then you get to the next one, and that's how our life is. That's life. What are you going to do with it? You're going to wallow in it like Jacob. Or are you going to allow God to show you how He brought Joseph into Egypt? Do you get it? Joseph was brought into Egypt because of God. Woe be to the man that does the bad thing to him. I get that. But still, God worked out a scenario and the way He had to work it out, because Joseph wouldn't have ended. Well, Joseph, I need you to go down to Egypt. Okay, see you later, Dad. I'm going down to Egypt. No, you're not. But Dad, God wants me. Oh, no, you're not. Dad, you don't understand. I'm not letting you out of my sight. I've already lost Rachel. I'm not losing you, Joseph. Do you think, how did God have to work it out? Because you look at Jacob's life and you think, well, Jacob wouldn't have allowed that to happen. God had to allow something terrible to be done by His brothers to bring to pass that which God wanted, because it wouldn't have worked out any other way. How do you want your life to work out? You want God to keep slamming you every time He needs something done? You want God to have to take one of your children? Even temporarily? It's pretty tough. Then you decide. You look at it and you go, well, you know what? I want God's will. I'm going to surrender to His will, His way, and His purpose, and I don't want God to have to use the hard lessons of life to teach me the very thing that He could teach me if I was just willing to accept His will. That's what we read when we read Genesis. Verse 27, and they told him all the words of Joseph which he had said unto them, and when he saw the wagons, all about sight here, which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. And Israel, no longer Israel, said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. It's just, you know, what's he been thinking about? What's on his mind? You tell me, what is on Jacob's mind? Death. Negativity. Just like some of you. He said, well, what about you? Just like me sometimes. Just like you sometimes. Okay? That's what you see here. When a man talks about that, that's his focus. That's what he's been thinking about. Man, I just need to die. This thing's been rough. I lost Rachel, whom I loved. You know, I got connived for 7 more years to get her, and then I got her, and then she's not all she was cracked up to be, because all she talked about was give me children. I can't control that. Man, every time I tried, it just turned on me, and it was negative, bad, ugly. Listen, what do you look at? Do you look and go, you know what? I got two children out of her. That sounds really bad. Rachel blessed me with 2 children. Husbands, don't ever say that to your wife. God blessed me with 2 children with Rachel, and she died. But I have 2 children. God took one of the children. But I have one of the children with me yet. And I have 10 more boys who are having grandchildren. I just want to die. That's what I read. Chapter 46. Israel took his journey with all that he had. He came to Beersheba. He offered sacrifices. Verse 2, God spake unto Israel in the visions. He says, Jacob, Jacob. You have to look through the times and see when somebody's name is doubled. It happens 7 different times. You remember it's Abraham, Abraham, Moses, Moses, and Samuel, Samuel, Martha, Martha, Simeon, Simeon, Saul, Saul. Remember that in Acts? Just go in there and see what event happened after all those. Verse 3, he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. I will go down with thee into Egypt. He's got promised preservation and deliverance by God. And I'll surely bring thee up again, and Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. And Jacob rose up from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob their father and their little ones and their wives and the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry them. And they all go down, all of his seed. Then it mentions all of them. And I did all the numbers on this. And I think I got, there's number 66 there in verse 26. The souls were 66. And then verse 27 says 70. And then Acts chapter 7, verse 14 says all of his kindred is 75. People say, well, there's an error in the Bible. No. The 66 would include all those mentioned there. And then when you get from 66 to 70, you add the 3 wives that are still alive. And then you add Jacob, you get 70. 4 more is 70. To get to 75, you add all those that died, the 3 that died, that'd be Rachel, Onan, and the 2 that were already in Egypt that didn't come with them to Egypt, or didn't come into Egypt like Joseph did. And you get Manasseh and Ephraim, and then you get to 75. So you go from 66 to 70 to 75. Easier to see it on paper than it is to explain it. You look at chapter 47, and Joseph tells him, look, if when Pharaoh asks what you do for a living, you tell him you're shepherds. And he tells him that in chapter 46, verse 33, what is your occupation? Look at verse 3 of chapter 47. Pharaoh said unto the brethren, what is your occupation? You know, he's a prophet. He knows what's going to be asked. And they tell him they're shepherds. And verse 6, the land of Egypt is before thee. In the best of the land make thy father and brethren to dwell. Again, he gives him permission. He could have put him there, but he gave him permission. In the land of Goshen, let them dwell. And if thou knowest any men of activity among them, then make them rulers over my cattle. He says, you got anybody that's a hard worker? Put that person over my cattle. By the way, you never know when you're going to be rewarded. You're a hard worker. Nobody notices, nobody cares. And then all of a sudden you get there and Pharaoh says, oh, by the way, you're hard workers. I want them rewarded. Don't get weary in well-doing. Verse 7, Joseph brought in Jacob, his father, set him before Pharaoh, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Hebrews 7:9 says, the less is blessed of the better. Verse 9, Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of the years of his pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been. Really? Boy, by the way, that's how a lot of Christians look at their Christianity. Few and evil have been the days. It's all about perspective. If you're saved, you've got Jesus Christ living in you, you have no reason to wallow in sin and wallow in what has gone on in your life. Everybody can look for how God has blessed them. All you have to do is focus on that. Verse 9, finishing it up. And have not attained in the days of the years of life of my fathers and the days of their pilgrimage. Verse 10, Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from before Pharaoh. Look, there's so many lessons. Genesis is the book of beginnings. You want to understand people, study your Bible. And you know, the problem is people don't get people. I mean, they don't know how to read people. They don't know how to understand people. They don't know how to communicate with people. You want to know how to communicate, understand, and relate to people? Just study all the characters in the Bible. Study all the characters in the Bible. This book will teach you and me how to relate to people. How to motivate people. How to inspire people to do more than they ever did before. But you have to learn the Bible. You have to study the Bible. If you go study television, you know what you're going to learn? The movie Mean Girls. You know what Mean Girls teaches girls to be? Boy, I always answer yours. Thanks for answering mine. You know, this group, come on, people, just get involved. I know I'm telling you to be something you're not, but it's not a bad thing. Preacher preaches, you say amen. Why? He's saying, hey, I agree with you. Answer the questions. I mean, I might be wrong. Sometimes we ask easy, dumb questions so you can show how smart you are. You know what Mean Girls teaches girls to be?
Mean.
I really wasn't... I didn't rebuke you to get the answer, but I did get it.
We don't watch movies.
And those that lie come to the altar. See what happens when you give an answer? Here's the thing. If you get your kids a diet of that stuff, not the adults, that's what your children will be. You want to know what will make your family different? I don't even know if you can turn off it. That was in the past, that was turn off the TV. This is now turn off the TV. Turn off the TV! And you'll find out that they'll get on their computer and learn it anyway. YouTube. But you know, you better get involved. Your children will become what their influences encourage them to become. It's already hard enough if they go to a public school. That's what they're going to learn. Even Christian schools will teach you bad things. Homeschool the parents, that's your problem. You should teach them better. But try to influence them. And the way you're going to learn people is in the pages of this book right here. Thank you.